Welcome back to Entertainment Talk. Today I'm here to do another film review. This is going to be for Weapons, which is a 2025 horror mystery film directed by Zach Krieger. So that's very cool. Let's go to our rating system. Of course, we'll start off spoiler free here. Go to our rating system. We've got strong must see. Must see, don't skip, possible skip. Skip and hard skip, and I'd like to award yet another strong must-see, and I'm pretty sure I want to give this a 10 out of 10. I can think of multiple reasons to give this a 10 out of 10 and a strong must-see, and not many reasons, or no reasons really, not to do so. So that is what we are going with for this choice. I think I love this film, because I think this film is really awesome. It achieves everything it sets out to do. I loved the way it was made, the idea, the answers, the mystery, the premise, the acting. I don't know that this is one where the writing stands out per se, but it wasn't one where I really needed the writing or the acting to stand out, because it's not really, I mean, obviously it's well written in of itself, otherwise it would be a poorly made film. But and you do have some very, very good acting in here, but that's not, those aren't really the things that stand out. The things that do stand out here are the directing. There is some absolutely phenomenal bits of camera work in this. I didn't notice the audio work as much, but again, this was a kind of an interesting film where the things it sets out to do with the questions it's got and the mystery left me satisfied in terms of, you know, those things being mysterious and all that, and then the answers to those. I was very satisfied by that. So that was really, really good. But it's, yeah, there's certain things it didn't do, but I didn't need those things to do. Like again, I didn't need, you know, Oscar-worthy performances. I didn't need, you know, Shakespearean writing or anything like that. It just, the film starts, it doesn't waste any time. The pacing structure and the flow of this film are really, really good. It sets itself out, it tells you what its mystery is, you get like a, you know, intro to kind of what's going on, and then the film just, in its best way, proceeds to tell you what that story is, and does it absolutely phenomenally well. It's, can I talk about that here? I don't think I can talk about that here. There's one particular element of this film that I liked the way, I liked the way it was edited. Let me say that. There's different parts of this film, the way that like certain puzzle pieces come together. But yeah, just in terms of like, I guess, individual like horror qualities, this is at times a film that, while when it does do its horror, it really, really does stand out, and it is a great horror film, but again, it wasn't one where I was, because there's a lot of drama in this, a lot of drama, a lot of mystery, action, not action in the way of like, you know, combat and fighting, but there's lots of drama in this film, but I didn't really go into this thinking, okay, I need a specifically really good horror film. And while it is very, very good at what it does for the horror stuff, that's not like actually at the forefront of kind of what's going on. I mean, horror is within the, obviously, the genre of the main thing that's going on, but it's more just, okay, this thing has happened, why has it happened? What is the different reasons and the ifs, buts, maybes, and, you know, where one, what was it, where, who, what, why, where, when, that sort of thing. And it answers those really fantastically well. What else was I going to praise this film for? Yeah, pacing's excellent. The structure of it isn't, well, it is straightforward, actually. It's interesting because you get told the story in a very particular way, and that had the opportunity to be a bit muddled up, but I actually think they did that in a very very clever way, a very interesting way, and it didn't waste too much time with doing that. I will say some parts of, and this isn't really a knock against the film, I'm just, you know, talking about it. It's what I'm here to do, right? It's when you get certain story bits that overlap with other bits, it's like, right, this bit's about to happen, but the point of it isn't, I don't think, oh, because we know what might happen based on information we just had from a different scene. It doesn't feel sort of, oh, I'm just waiting for this thing to happen and it's predictable. It's more about, like, the characters' reactions and seeing the other side and seeing just, like, how the bits of the story come together and how that sort of puzzle, how the little puzzle pieces all slot into this. Like, okay, this character did this, but how did they do it? This character then did this, but then how does that line up with that? And all of those matched up fantastically well. In terms of the sort of mystery and stuff, which it does a very, very good job of doing, it does a lot of the, there's two particular, maybe two or three particular horror things that this film does do very, very, very well, which I'll get to now. It does do the basic kind of, this character did this weird thing, why did they do that? But then it's not sort of in a boring way of, oh, they did something really simple and basic. It's like, okay, they did do something simple and basic, but why did they do that? Which it can, if you do it right, which this film does do really, really well, can be really, really effective. And that's a massive point towards this film. It does, because I don't need, like, when it comes to horror, and obviously there's a lot of different genres of horror, I don't need horror films to try too hard. In fact, I think when some horror films try too hard to be too complicated, too sort of out there with ideas, I think your narrative thread gets lost a bit, particularly with, let's say, when it comes to rules as well, which I think this film also does really, really well with its rules. It's sort of, okay, you've witnessed this thing happening, now we're going to give you a bit of an answer, then a bit more of an answer, then a bit more of an answer. And you're kind of looking at, okay, does the narrative thread of this thing make sense? Does it bump along the way anywhere? And I felt like I was able to follow the narrative thread really, really well. And the mystery kind of thread and all that sort of thing. So I thought that was great. But yeah, it does the weird and the wonderful very, very well. Of like, even things like, okay, why is that character walking weird? Why are they doing this, that, and the other? I can't really talk about them here because it will spoil certain stuff. I don't know if I should talk about what this film's actually about, because I'm already 7 minutes in. I'll just do it very quickly. It says here, overview, when all but one child from the same classroom mysteriously vanish on the same night at exactly the same time, a community is left questioning who or what is behind their disappearance. So again, you have basically at 2:17 a.m. All these kids from one particular classroom, apart from one, run off in the middle of the night to somewhere. And then of course you're left with the idea of, okay, why did they run off? Why did all of them run off? Why is there one kid left? Where have they gone? Why? Why was it at 2:17? Why did they all run off at the same time? Is it something to do with the teacher from the classroom? Like, who caused it and why and all that sort of thing? And it very much does answer all those questions by the end of the film. And does it incredibly well. I will say this is, it's a bit of a slow burn. I mean, you've got 2 hours, 10 minutes. And in terms of pacing, it does manage that very, very well. But it feels, because I was watching like the start of this, obviously watched all of it, and I was like, okay, is this film slow? And then you just get little, you know, when a film is like, is doing that, it's being kind of slow at its start, you think, okay, are you doing something slow paced or something slow burn? And then you get like that first moment, that first little like almost nugget of information, and you go, ah, okay, now I can cling on to this first piece, just like the film can do, and you can like start to run with things from there. So I think it does really, really well with that. I've got to talk about the camera work, because I love the camera work in this film. And one particular thing that I feel like horror can use this better than any other genre is when you deliberately position the camera in a certain way. And I remember one of the first times I saw what I'm talking about is in a TV show called Servant on Apple TV+. Brilliant show, recommend it. absolutely fantastic. And the idea of now this film doesn't do it in the same way that Servant does, but didn't need to, of like, we're going to position a camera in this way. We want you to scan your eyes all over the screen. Look out for any little nugget of like, can I see a figure standing there? Is something out of place? Did something move across the screen? Is there, you know, those sorts of things. Now, while this doesn't have a ton of still shots, because one thing I really love is, let's say, for example, you leave the camera standing completely still in like a hallway, and there's like a bunch of doors and you can hear some stuff. Maybe the camera's like really slowly zooming in to the point where you eventually notice, and like a character goes from one room, they're holding something strange, they go into another room, you hear some stuff, and you're just left wondering kind of what's going on, you know, in the areas that you can't see. This film kind of does something similar, although the camera does move a lot more, but it moves in very deliberate ways. It's sort of, the camera is going to scan left to right or right to left this particular area. There's a lot of kind of, what do you call that thing? You know when someone goes up to the front door, they look through, is it like peephole, I think? There's a lot of shots of characters looking in tight spaces. You know, not necessarily always just peepholes, but they're looking in windows and things like that. The camera's panning left to right or right to left. And sometimes you see nothing, which I think is important. I think it's important when you do something like that, that you don't have every single shot, like, you know, making the audience jump or having a reaction, because then it's, what do you call it? It can get a bit sort of, oh, now you're going to make me, you know, have a jump scare again kind of thing. So it does that really, really well. But yeah, it does that fantastically well, and it kind of, there is a couple of shots and a couple of bits where a camera will follow someone walking. You can't see exactly where they're going. The camera then sits still at one point. You hear something off screen, and it makes you go, oh, yeah, you can kind of hear what might be about to happen, and then like something weird happens. The film's very, very, very good at doing that. So in terms of camera work, fantastic. There's also a few shots I noticed of, there's one particular bit in a car where it wasn't a first person view with the driver, but it's sort of, the camera was almost leaning like on the dashboard, but slightly further back, so you can see a bit of like the wheel turning and things like that. So that was really, really good. And then you get a little bit more of a kind of like first person view, but not quite first person view, in the car and stuff, and all these things just added up across this film and just made it a really phenomenal experience, I think. Yeah, audio wasn't something I noticed as much. There's things like, you know, noises happening off camera and off screen, so that was still effective as well. There's a couple of what I would call, I don't know what the professional term is, but like focus shots. There's a few bits where a character will be looking at something, and the thing that the camera's about to switch to will be slightly sort of like in view, and then a noise or a something happens, and then the camera just like snaps to put that back into focus. I thought that was also done really, really well. So yeah, if you couldn't tell, camera work was, that is a dog in the distance, yeah, the camera work was really, really phenomenal on this as well. It's something that like very clearly stands out, and giving all the praise to it, because I thoroughly enjoyed that part of the film. So yeah, that all together with still some phenomenal acting as well, just to point out the cast list, because it is quite stacked. Just names I actually recognise. You've got Julia Garner. She's kind of the main character, maybe. Of course, she was recently one of the Silver Surfer versions in Fantastic Four, so she was really good. Speaking of MCU, I got a few MCU actors in here actually. You've got Josh Brolin. He plays a particular character. Of course, he was Thanos in the MCU. You've got Benedict Wong, who plays, is his name Wong as well in the MCU? The sorcerer character in like Doctor Strange and that. So he was great. You've got Austin Abrams. I think I recognise that name. Alden Ehrenreich back in something again. Continue to see him and stuff. He's been really great. And there was a couple of other very good casting choices as well. So yeah, the cast here is really great. They do get the opportunity to stretch their legs. It's just not... I wouldn't say it's one where you'd come away from it and go, oh yeah, the acting really stood out. Because while the acting still is superb, it is absolutely fantastic. To me, it's things like the camera work, the mystery, the pacing, the way you told the story, the editing, and then the actual horror itself. Those are the things that kind of really stood out to me. But yeah, like I said, with pacing, structure, and the flow of the film, there's a lot going on in this film, and things just kind of build and build after the kind of slow burn. I think if you're someone who hasn't seen this film, I think you'll know the moment I'm talking about as to when the film has it sort of like, okay, we were, you know, we started up the engine, you know, we're warming up the engine, and now we're like slowly pulling away. We're actually like not getting started with the story because the story had already started, but it's a kind of, that's like their, okay, here we go kind of moment. This is where we're gonna like kick off properly and like ramp things up a little bit. Don't get me wrong, it doesn't go from like zero and then suddenly 100 and then that's just the rest of the film. It still you know, takes moments to breathe and slows down and things like that, which is also very good at. Speaking of that, there is plenty of, you know, pin drop moments, which they do fantastically well. Thankfully, the theater or cinema that I was in, because of course that's an important part if people are quiet, especially in like, you know, quiet horror films and stuff, the audience was really, really good with that, and those moments, you certainly soak those in and take those in. That was really good as well. What else do I want to talk about in the spoiler-free section? Because in the spoiler section, it's going to be like, okay, here's everything that happened. Was I satisfied with this, that, and the other? That sort of thing. But no, thoroughly recommend this film. It has been out for a bit of time. I've meant to see this for a bit of time, so... I would recommend going to see this on the big screen. I think it's well worth it. If you can find, you know, decent screen times near you and everything. If you end up watching it VOD at home, then fine. But I think this is one worthy of the big screen, certainly. So yeah, thoroughly recommend it. Obviously not suitable for kids. So there's that. And yeah, I left feeling very satisfied with, you know, the answers and stuff. How the film ends, I thought was pretty great as well. So yeah, Weapons is just an excellent film. It's one I'll be thinking about for a little bit of time as well. So thoroughly enjoyed that. I realised something once I finished watching this film. I haven't seen a film I disliked yet this year. Hopefully that continues. We're only in September. There is still a portion of the year left, but I don't think I've even given any possible skip ratings to any films this year. I've liked films in different degrees, to different degrees. I've given out a couple of don't skip ratings, but I still liked those films. So I suppose that's very, very good. And there's films I still want to go and see that I'm looking forward to. So in terms of next film to see, I'm not sure for the big screen what it is. I do still want to watch Amateur and The Drop. Those are both on VOD. I miss those on the big screen. There's a film called Together, which was Alison Brie and her husband. I noticed that disappeared from all listings I saw, within about a week. Not sure what happened there, but that's gone. Conjuring, I'm not going to see that. The Roses, not particularly interested. I'm interested in Honey, Don't. That's got Margaret Qualley and a few other people as well. That might be next on the film, like, big screen release list. Bad Guys 2, not interested. Freaky Friday, not really. Fantastic Four, I've already seen that. So yeah, those are the next three films I'm kind of eyeing, which is Honey, Don't. I thought there was a couple of other little horror films that sort of came and went as well, but like Together was one of them. Honey, Don't, which is more of a drama kind of film. I swear there was one or two more that were kind of flirting around that I was interested in, but that was that one. And then yeah, I can't think of what's like coming up. That sort of big July summer stuff has kind of come and gone. But Honey, Don't is next on my big screen list. And then if, you know, when I watch Amateur and The Drop, those are the next two I'm looking at. Those are both on VOD. I'll do those at some point as well. So look out for that. Let me just quickly, while we're here, films coming soon. Just have a quick scroll through this. The Long Walk, that looks kind of interesting. What date is that? That is 12th of September. Yeah, I saw caught the trailer for that the other day. That looks quite interesting. Again, another mystery, kind of like, okay, what's going to happen here? Like, why are they doing this kind of thing? So that looks really interesting. So The Long Walk. What else is here? Him. I think that's Jordan Peele's next film. I like his film, so I'm interested in that. That is October. There's also Shelby Oaks, which I think is from Chris Stuckman. I actually don't know much about that, but cool to see that's getting a big screen release. Good on him for that. I know he put a lot of work into that. Black Phone 2. I have seen Black Phone 1, or I watched it with a YouTube channel, Real Rejects. They're a really good channel. So I'm curious about that. I'm not sure if I'd definitely go and see that. What else is coming out? Yes, a few other things. Anyway, that's enough of that for now. But yeah, let me know your thoughts on Weapons. Have I sold you the film, let's say? Are you going to go and see it based off of my recommendation? If you've already seen it, did you like it? I guess somehow more than I did, because I absolutely love this film. Thought it was awesome. Did you like it less than me? Did you outright dislike this film? Let me know your thoughts, feelings, questions, comments. MatthewAtEntertainmentTalk.org, social media, eTalkUK, Entertainment Talk, and there's information in your show notes. In the meantime, you can find everything else that we do on EntertainmentTalk.org. TV, games, films, main night podcast. I'm going to try, before I go to bed today, which will still be a chunk of hours, to do a political talk. I really want to talk about this Lucy Connell situation, because there are just some even more bizarre than usual things going on. Let's call it that. I would like to do, I know I talked about her and what happened and all that on the last political talk, but I want to do a focused episode, because there's just some things I just want to talk about with that. So I might even slide the old is it Graham Lynham, whatever his name is, conversation. I'm not going to do the focus on that one as much. I really want to focus on the Lucy Connell thing. Yeah, talk about all that. So I'm going to do that at some point. I haven't put this podcast out yet, but we are coming back with Breaking Bad this Wednesday. That will be for season 4, so look out for that. We just put out the refreshed season 3 podcast, so you can check those out as well. Gaming Talk will be back on Wednesday. United Cast is back, I think, next Sunday. We've got Man City away. Yeah, look for all those things in the meantime on entertainmenttalk.org and podcast platforms. TV, games, films, Monday Night Podcast. If you'd like to support more of what we do, you can do so by listening to more episodes, or on my social media. And if someone mentions a thing we've podcasted on, please tell them about said podcast. Patreon, $5, $10 level tiers. Ad-free podcast review options, look for that as well if you'd like to. TV and film news, Geektown Radio Tuesdays and geektown.co.uk. Go and check that out. And of course, look for the Geektown posts during the week for TV and film news. And YouTube, got a bunch of stuff over there. Just clips, streams, other bits and pieces on YouTube, Entertainment Talk Plays. Alright, that's it for the spoiler-free section. Got a chunk of things to talk about in the spoiler section. Of course, if you don't want to know what happens in this film, which I definitely don't recommend that you get spoiled on this before you see it, because, yeah, you'll know the what, when, who, where, why, and all that sort of thing. Anyway, let's take a break, we'll come back and do the spoiler section. See you for that in a minute. Hi there, if you're looking to get started with a website of your own and a domain name, we've got good news for you. With our affiliate link with Kualu, you can click on that link, which is in your show notes, which is for our affiliate link. You can go over to Kualu to get started with your website and domain name today. They've also got a very handy chat support system, which is usually in the bottom right hand corner, to send messages back and forth to Kualu if you'd like to ask them for help to get started with your domain name and website today. So that's Kualu, and you can use them to get started with your website and domain name today. Thank you very much to Kualu for this affiliate link. Hi there, if you'd like to get rid of the ads in Entertainment Talk's podcast and listen to the ad-free versions of our episodes, we've got good news for you there as well. You can subscribe to Entertainment Talk at either the $5 level tier or $10 level tier. The $5 level tier will get you access to all of Entertainment Talk's previous ad-free podcasts and the future ad-free podcasts that we make in the month that you're subscribed for. If you also subscribe to us at the $10 level tier, that will get you that benefit that I've just mentioned, and it'll also grant you access to request a review for 2 episodes of a TV show and a general discussion on that show, or a film review of your choice. So if there's a TV show out there or a film that we've not covered perhaps and you'd like our opinion on it, we can watch 2 episodes of that TV show or film review. So it's one of either of those per month. Of course, if you continue subscribing each month, you can pick a TV show, then a film the next month, and so on and so forth. This is a great way to support Entertainment Talk, get your ad-free podcasts, and also get some reviews of your choice. Thank you very much for supporting us, and thank you for listening. Back to the show. Alright, back with the spoiler section for Weapons. If you've not seen the 2025 horror mystery film, Weapons 2025, if you've not seen it, I'm going to spoil it, and I definitely don't recommend that you get spoiled on this film before you see it, because there's lots of reveals. Where do we want to start off first? Okay, let's go through the good place to start. Let's go through the questions you end up having and what the answers were, and we can start talking about things from there. Okay, so the kids run away in the middle of the night. I actually don't think the two, because it was like, oh, why did they leave all at 2:17? I think that was actually the least noted part of it. Now that I think about it, the one shot in this film that I'm not moaning about this, I'm just, you know, observing and being balanced, is when Josh Brolin's Archer, he looks above one of the houses and there's a machine, there's an assault, like imaginary thing with an assault rifle, and it says 2:17. I think that the auntie, so the one that was doing the whole thing, I think she just happened to do that at 2:17. Now whether she meant in terms of, because that was one of the mysteries, is like, okay, is 2:17 going to be like a relevant number? And I don't necessarily think it was. I do think the idea was, okay, wait for the middle of the night so everyone's asleep and then take control of the kids. I think that was the idea, but that could have been, you know, midnight, 1 a.m, 5 a.m, 3 a.m, anywhere past, like, you know, 10, 11 o'clock ish at night. So, but I wasn't bothered by that. I wasn't sort of thinking, oh, you presented these numbers to me and didn't do anything with them. At least I didn't catch anything in the film as to, because even though when she does do the, can we call it spell, and she like puts all the kids' names or whatever it is in the bowl and does that, and then she does look at the clock, I felt like that was just a connective tissue of like continuity. I don't think she did that for a specific reason. Okay, so why did this happen? It happened because, at least from, and this was the only slightly unanswered question, but I think you can gain your own interpretation from it, is she wanted to steal the youth of the kids, maybe? And then it essentially became a part of, she's got to figure out, like, how to essentially get other people out of the way. So, like, taking control of the parents, that was key. And then the social workers coming around, check out what's going on with, I think it was Alex, wasn't it? Checking out what's going on with him, trying to, successfully manipulate Alex, and, you know, the fork stabbing thing and all that kind of stuff. You've got all that going on. I think it was, that's at least what I'm taking from it, is, like, she was supposed to be ill. She's doing this witchcraftian thing, and the main people she tries to get control of is those kids. And my guess was, okay, she knows that her grandson goes to the school full of young kids, so she's gonna choose them. That's at least the answer that I interpreted from that, when you start getting information given towards you. The only thing they didn't particularly answer as well, which I wasn't, I mean, you've got, what was it, Archer speaks about, like, how they're like a homing missile kind of thing, is, okay, why were they doing a Naruto style run? Now, there was a tiny little nugget of, I guess, information when, I think it was Alex, yeah, gets asked about, okay, did your friends see something on TV? Which, because I've never seen Naruto, but it is, from what I understand, that's the Naruto run, right? So even though it wasn't like, oh yeah, my friends have been watching Naruto, so that's why they run this way. Maybe that was just like an Easter egg towards that or something from the director. But I felt it was just more kind of, because they're so, because okay, the idea is, alright, they're going to be controlled and targeted to run towards something. Like when you see the adults get targeted to go and kill, like Marcus, when he gets targeted to go and kill Justine, it's like, okay, he's going to run just like he's on a track, and he's going to ignore everyone and everything around him, including traffic, and then go straight to her. That's obviously to try to kill her, to get her out of the way, because she was investigating, just like they tried to do with, I think it was James, and also with Archer, and also, well, basically everybody by the end of the film, Paul. Because she almost did control everyone, until Justine was getting strangled, and then obviously that's where the son came in and sorted everything out by the end. So yeah, where did they go? They went to the basement. Fair enough answer. Why did it happen? And again, my interpretation is because the elderly want to get the youth of the young, kind of thing. That's at least what I was gaining from that. So that was that answered. What other questions were there? Oh yeah, why was it all of them from one class? Again, because Alex was simply in the class. And again, I didn't need, like, all these answers sound fairly simple. Like, oh yeah, get all the kids from one classroom, from a kid that you know because it's your grandson. You go and visit them, you tell them that you're sick, you take control of the parents through your voodoo stuff, and then because your grandson happens to be in, well, not happens to be, he goes to a school because he's a young kid, in a class full of kids who are very young that you want to get the youth from, you're going to manipulate him to do that. I know all these answers sound very, you know, basic and simple. Of course, we didn't know any of them before the film started, but I didn't need the film to give me anything more complicated than that, because it wasn't, to me, it was a combination of all that excellent camera work and the mystery and the sort of like, because you have the different perspectives, like this person's chapter, and you start seeing them overlap. I thought that was done quite well. I also appreciated in certain bits, like for example, I think it was when Paul was chasing after James, and it's like, okay, you've already seen that chase, you can like edit past that bit and then catch up to it. And while a couple of the catching up bits were sort of, okay, we know where this is going to end up, it was still cool to see that perspective of it, and then to see, okay, once that's all been dealt with, you can then, like, continue telling the story. So, that was all very good. It's a shame that James died, a shame that Paul died, and a shame that Marcus died. There's a good chunk of characters that died here. So that was interesting. So by the end of the film, Alex is in control of his school friends, but I'm gonna guess he probably like broke that or let them go or whatever it was, and then they just tried to get back to normal way of life, I suppose. So yeah, that was very, very good. A couple of the actual horror bits, like, yeah, there's your classic kind of, you know, your bits and pieces of your horror stuff in terms of, okay, the parents, you know, injuring their own faces. And then you also had, like, almost accidental horror in the way of when Paul gets, you know, not injected, but gets, you know, nicked by the needles and stuff. And then there was the three needle thing. Gus, that would have been, like, you think of that, and of course he's thinking of, like, okay, what is this needle come into contact with that is possibly going to be inside me? And then there's three of them, and it's like, oh my god, what would have possibly been inside of those? But then they do both die by the end of the film. I felt much more sad about Paul dying, because he seemed to have something good with Justine. And while you're kind of supposed to sympathise with James a bit, it's sort of, he's doing what he's got to do. He's still a drug person, and is stealing from people. So yeah, that was cool. I love the bit where, because we see Justine looking in that window, and you see like two figures sitting there. I thought at first that was two kids standing up, because of course it's a very quick shot and all that sort of thing, and you're not always clear on what you're seeing. But then it was just the two parents sitting down, and then James breaks in later, and then like, because it's so silent, and again it was one of them really silent moments, that he just gets startled by them and is like, now you get more of the reveal of that. So that was cool as well. You got obviously the scene with Marcus and his partner, not sure if husband, boyfriend. That was, yeah, pretty harrowing as well. I love with those bits, it's sort of, okay, you while the two of those are not completely sure what this woman's going to do, you know that, okay, you're pretty sure this nan, was it the auntie? The auntie is going to be, but like, okay, when is she going to like catch them? What is she going to slowly do? Where is she going to lure them? Is she going to say something? Is it like a, because that was the reveal of, okay, what is this thing and how does it actually work? Because you've had like hair cutting scenes and things like that. But it's like, okay, how does all this culminate into, you know, how does this kind of work? And I love the bit by bit kind of like, it, you know, the bowl and then the, you know, pricking her finger and all those kind of things. So I love the reveal of that. That was really, really cool. Just that moment of, oh, you're not feeling very well, you want some water, oh, can I have a bowl? That's the first kind of, okay, maybe don't, you know, judge her. There might be a reason for that. It's a bit odd for someone to ask for, you know, a bowl of water when they're claiming that they're thirsty. But that was that first sort of, what's going on? And again, it's all quite simple but very effective, and that's something I really do like about this film, is it doesn't try too hard to get to where it wants to go. It doesn't make things too overcomplicated. It is simple somewhat on the surface of, okay, this thing is happening and this thing is happening and this thing is happening, but it's the reveals and it's the camera work and it's just everything else as to how it comes together. It's just really, really fantastic how it does that. So and again, just those bit by bit reveals is just really cool. And that was probably one of the best ones, of like, okay, you know she's probably going to do something weird here, but what is it, how is it going to work? And then I was thinking that, okay, because we know from an earlier scene Marcus is going to run down the road, you know that she gets him at some point, but then, okay, what happens to his partner? We haven't seen him yet, so how does that kind of culminate? And then he just kills him. So yeah, what else do I want to talk about? I didn't mind that they gave, like, okay, Paul has this girlfriend side storyline and he had sex with Justine, so cool. It gave him something on the side for him to do, rather than just, he's just this cop person and whatever else. So that was pretty cool. What was the other major bit that I wanted to talk about? What was it? Just talked about Marcus and all of that. Damn, I've forgotten what it is. Anyway, is there anything else I need to mention for this film? Anything I haven't talked about? Ending, nice kind of settled ending. It's a shame a few of the characters died and whatnot. Oh, the auntie's, oh yeah, that was what it is, the auntie's death and, like, the chase sequence. That was just fantastic. And this, again, you're told the idea already of, okay, the target will just focus on that thing and it will jump through windows and it will do, it kind of reminded me of Zombies in Black Summer. It's a fantastic Netflix show, for those of you who haven't seen it, as a zombie show. And the way that those infected, kind of the way they get up and they'll just, like, dive through windows and jump and just be relentless. They don't like casually step over stuff like a clicker would do or like a walker would do or whatever. It just relentlessly sprints and jumps and smashes its way through stuff. And seeing the kids do that was pretty cool. You see just like this little army of kids running down the road. I also did like as well the collecting kids scene, like them all actually getting up and running down the road, and you just see this silent bit of them all running towards the house. I thought that was really well done as well. But yeah, they catch up with her eventually, and once I noticed, like, okay, they're not strangling her, they don't think they're stabbing her, I think they were eating her. And I felt like that was a little nod back to when the aunt, you know, when the auntie was intimidating the son of like, hey, I could make them eat each other, I could do this, I could do that to, you know, threaten him and scare him. And then you start seeing like, okay, they're getting stuck in a bit more here. Now, I don't think you definitively see what happens to her, although she's, you know, been, whether it's eaten or pulled apart or a combination of both, I'm pretty sure that's basically what happened. But I felt like that was a nod back to that, which I thought was pretty cool as well. So, and thankfully, that with, you know, Alex saved the day, which was very, very good. Yeah, that's Weapons. Loved it. Thought it was awesome. If there's any bits I didn't talk about or bits I did talk about that you have thoughts or feedback on, I've already told you how you can write in. So, please do that as well. All right. Anyway, what's that? Anyway, thank you all very much for listening. That's why I'm reviewing for Weapons. I've already said the couple of films that might be next on my list. For video games, got Death Stranding to do as well. For TV, I'm not sure what's next. I need to start season 2 of Twisted Metal at some point as well. So look out for that. Anyway, thank you very much for listening, and I will see you next time. Goodbye.